Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
You too, buddy.
It's been a busy, ridiculous season of life.
Has it? Not really for me.
I don't, excuse me. Let me rephrase a word. It has been a rewarding, active season of life. Because I'm not doing anything I don't want to do. It's just work. It's just life.
Yeah.
Ain't bad. It just is what it is.
I get it.
Mark, I don't know if you're aware of this. I like to follow current things. But they just had this little wrestling event a couple weeks ago called, let me check my notes, WrestleMania.
Okay.
And I don't know if you had heard of it.
I heard something about that, yeah.
I would love to talk about WrestleMania 40, WrestleMania XL. An event.
It was. It was. I didn't watch it, but.
Did you watch any of it?
No, I did. Yeah, I watched it.
I told somebody this yesterday, the highest compliment that I can pay to WWE is that over two nights, probably 8 to 9 hours of wrestling, maybe 10, I did not check my watch one time.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe in the era of the two-night WrestleMania. This one's like, I don't know that there's, for me, there's not a close second. What are your thoughts?
Being the best of all time?
I'm just talking about the two night era. So the last 5 years.
As far as the two night deal, yeah, I think this is the best one. I don't know if it's my personal
right. I think by Triple H's metrics, attendance, money, streaming.
Yeah, I think it probably is number one.
Right.
Based on that.
I don't even know. Where do you even want to begin? Let's just start with the big thing, and that is Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, that was great.
WWE Undisputed Universe, whatever his title is.
Yeah.
Some of the most amazing storytelling that we've seen in a long time.
Emotional. I mean, it's a lot of personal stuff. That you hear that all the time. The things that are kind of really personal and weaving all that into, you know, to that story. And, you know, did they intend for Rock to turn heel, or was that the plan all along, or was that a pivot that they made? I don't think anybody really knows.
They released a documentary this week that I haven't had the chance to watch to try, and they're trying very hard to convince us that they changed directions.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they did.
No, I think
because why would you have had Cody win the Royal Rumble?
Correct.
If this was your plan, you just wouldn't have. It would have had somebody else win the Royal Rumble and challenge Seth Rollins. It just didn't make any sense.
Right.
So I'm not convinced that this wasn't their plan all along.
It was a great plan.
Masterful.
Tremendous.
Because in an era when everybody knows anything, nobody knows.
Yes. No one knew. Like, that's what we're still what happened. Right. We don't know what happened.
Right. That's, yeah. It was great. I sent it to you. My favorite thing, such a simple thing. Very, very simple. But one of my favorite things from the whole week, a lot of interviews were conducted.
Yes.
And we'll get to one of those.
Right.
But there was an interview with Cody, and they said, last year, when did you know that you were not going to be walking out of WrestleMania as the champion? And he said, when Roman hit me with that spear and the referee made the three count, that's when I knew. And I wish more wrestlers would do that.
Because yes.
The flip side of that was Rock going on ESPN and everybody that would listen to him and going, I've been doing a 12-week training regimen where I got somebody portraying the part of each person in this match, and right. I've been working with these guys to make sure that I do this, and I went to Nick Khan with this idea of blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I don't like to see – you don't have to insult my intelligence by making me – by telling me this is all real. I'm not saying that. But, man, you don't have to pull the curtain all the way back.
Right.
But that's
right.
The Rock. I mean, that's – yeah. Know, yeah, that's The Rock. That's his – dude, talk about a guy that, and I haven't had it, you know, they did the Rock and Triple H rivalries show too.
Oh, okay.
I'd really like to watch it. There was a lot of real life
animosity
between whatever they may portray on TV. And I'm sure now they probably do get along because there's no reason for them not to. You see that a lot in wrestling.
Yes. Yes.
Dusty and Flair, notoriously, were the best of friends.
Yeah.
And then, As they became contemporary rivals, were not friends, and then became friends again.
Yes,
when it was over with, you see that a lot. I think you're seeing it right now with Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Yeah,
where they started out as really good friends, and they became one and two.
Right,
in that company, and there's and I think now you'll see them become, you will see them together again as friends down the line. So I forgot what I was saying. I was
no, you were talking about the Rock and Triple H.
It's been a long weekend. Okay, so Rock and Triple H. But talk about a guy coming full circle. And now, did you see everything that the Rock got ownership of?
I just saw.
Like, first of all, just the fact that he got like a 30-something, was it like 30% share of the board of TKO, that not WWE, the company that owns.
He,
I know he's on the board of directors, and he got
it was $30 million.
Okay,
He got a $30 million bonus for coming on the board, and then once, like literally Sunday night, he got $9 million worth of shares.
I saw that,
and I just saw maybe this morning that Vincent Mann is unloading all of his shares.
I'm sure he is.
He had sold like $350 million worth
a week
or two ago.
And now he's not coming back. He will never be back with that company.
Right.
He may as well cash out.
Right. And it's one of those deals where, I mean, that kind of deal just takes time. I mean, he had a crap load.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Obviously. Did he own a lot?
Yeah. Let me check my math. Yeah. A lot.
Appreciate you doing all the leg work on that.
Yes.
But, like, The Rock gained 100% ownership of, like, his name.
Yeah.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Which is huge. He didn't have to pay to use that anymore.
Right.
The Nation,
mm-hmm.
The Nation of Domination.
Oh, wow.
It was like 30 or 40 trademarks that WWE owned that he owns now.
Wow.
That was part of his deal for coming back. The Great One, Jabroni. Mm. He's got the trademark on the word Jabroni now.
So, can you say, are we allowed to say?
I think we can still say it.
We can't put, we couldn't do a shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees.
I'm probably not. I don't know. But dude, it was about everything. If you smell what the Rock is cooking,
mm-hmm.
Anything you've ever heard him say or be a part of,
right?
He owns it.
Rock and Sock.
He may.
Yeah.
He may. I don't know.
He is legitimately the people's champion.
Yes. That's great that he's got his little fake belt. No greater heel move.
Yes.
Than just a fake belt and calling yourself the people's champion.
Right. Right.
And he embraced that role.
Yes, he did.
And just that's why. And people, he'll be a huge baby face before it's over with.
One thing I love about The Rock is when he turns baby face, he'll be doing the exact same thing. He'll still do the trash talk. I love the trash talking during the match, especially like when it's a little more adult themed.
Yes.
Trash. I love like the walking and the talking and. That is, it just adds something to it. One of the things I just saw this afternoon, a guy was saying, "Well, why are people into wrestling so much since it's fake?" And he just talked about it is storytelling.
Right, I think I saw that.
This was one of the greatest stories ever told in wrestling.
Uh-huh.
I wish I could go back a year ago. I was sitting right here on this couch, and Cody lost. And I was like, huh,
Yeah.
And I say, wait, it's going to get good.
Yeah, wait till you see what they do.
Because this made it 10 times better.
Yes, and we'll get there to him winning, but it was the old school. The baby faces come out, picked him up on their, hoisted yes. him up on their shoulders.
Yes.
I mean, they, you know, it was that great. It was just great. It was a great culmination. The only thing that would have made it just that little bit better, and what we will get there, was if it had been Steve Austin.
Right.
You know, because then you still could have had Undertaker.
Yeah.
Because you could have brought out Rikishi, and then Undertaker right. could have come out and ran him off, and then you could have did Rock and right. Austin. You could have done the whole gig, man.
But I remember leading into Sunday night, we're like, all right, Jimmy and Jay are going to cancel each other out.
Yeah.
Who's going to be with The Rock? Oh, and I thought it was Stone Cold.
Yeah, I think everybody.
And
hate to interrupt.
No, you're good.
But I popped bigger for Undertaker than I would have popped for Austin. So it kind of worked.
Yes. Yeah.
To be honest with you. Because I think everybody expected Austin. And then when the gong hit, like I Bobby Heeled.
Eek! Did you? I didn't hear the gong.
You didn't.
We're sitting here and something happened. And one of the guys said, whoa, 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 what was that? And I'm like, huh, what happened? What's going on? What's going on? Because everybody popped. And then the lights went out. And we're like, is that the Undertaker? And then, it is the Undertaker. What in the world?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it was I popped for all of it.
Even you knew it was. You know what? A lot of people will talk about wrestling being predictable. Sometimes it needs to be predictable.
Yes.
They need to do the thing
yes.
that you want them. It doesn't always have to. It's good to throw a twist in. I was not expecting a Rock heel turn. Great no. twist.
Yeah.
You should throw those in there. But when it's time to be predictable, that's what the people want. And that was the time to be predictable.
They
do what people wanted them to do.
We use the term fan service. As if it's a bad thing. I had somebody tell me that I didn't like. They said, yeah, I didn't like Top Gun 2. It was a little too predictable. I loved every minute of it.
What do you think was going
to
happen?
Everything that I needed to happen.
Yeah.
I saw Iceman. Him and Maverick had a touching conversation. Uh-huh. Everything. It was booked. And this is what they said. It wasn't like real life. I don't go to the movies for real life.
It was like real life, we would have watched this thing where Maverick ate too many tacos and took a nap. You know what I mean? I got a real life.
Let's be honest. If it had been real life, they not letting a 55-year-old man fly a stealth bomber. You can't go be a test pilot.
And Maverick would have texted Iceman and said, I'm sorry, I was going to come over, but my house is closing today. I'm not going to be able to do it. And then Iceman would have texted him back, it's all right. I had to work late.
No, that's right.
Sorry, I've been smoking in campfire smoke all weekend.
But it was, dare I say, perfect.
Yeah, WrestleMania. Yes, perfect. Yes,
one of the
Top Gun.
Perfect.
Perfect. It was perfect.
And here's one of the things that's been great this week post WrestleMania. Is in the moment. You see all the things happening, and here comes Seth and Roman. Is just this week, everybody's like, oh, Easter egg, Easter egg, Easter egg.
Yes.
Even back to Rock and Cody from like 2011,
yeah.
2012,
mm-hmm.
where they had this interaction, I want to see your belt.
Yeah.
And then the whole, let me be your shield.
That was the biggest one when he said, when Seth Rollins said, I'm the only man that has a unique ability to be your shield, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he knew that when he saw him dressed like that, with that music, that it would distract
him. And even the hair.
With the hair. When he saw that, he knew that it was going to throw Roman off of his game.
Yeah, it was.
But another perfect thing that it shouldn't be lost is that at no point did any of the interfering baby faces do anything to help Cody win that match. I think Cena hit the AA, but then there was a long period between it. So nobody did it. Nobody put their hands on Roman Reigns after that.
Right. Yeah. One person put Solo, got his hands on Cody.
Right. I'm not talking about
trying
to beat Cody. I mean, the baby faces.
Right. I like that.
Cody doesn't have, there's no excuse to go back.
Right.
And say that Cody wasn't clean.
Yes.
In his win. Yeah. That was my, it's fine for the heels to cheat.
Right.
Did you see the follow up to the Blue Bloodline story?
I saw, Haku's son.
Yeah, if they do like the Dark Bloodline with Rock leading them, and there may be, I think they're bringing Jacob Fatu in as well. Dude, this is good. If you've not seen any of Jacob Fatu's work,
yes,
I would highly recommend.
Did he come in yet?
No, he hasn't yet.
He signed.
I assume he'll be him and Solo and Tama Tonga versus The Rock.
Versus the Usos.
Versus the Usos and Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn in a Hell in a Cell match. Or, I'm sorry, War Games match. You tell me that you're not going to sign up for the network to watch that. Because that's where it's going.
Yes.
Yes. Rock's back.
Yeah.
This is not like Rock. There's a somebody. If I knew, I would give them credit.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock's Hollywood career stumbled at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And his first thing was, I need to get back to WWE because that's where my fan base is at.
Right.
His last few films have not done.
Right.
Have underperformed compared to his. So he's back. You'll see more. I think he'll be back definitely by SummerSlam, probably.
Yes.
Maybe to face Cody at SummerSlam and then lead to the Bloodline stuff later on, I have a feeling. But they may do him and Cody at SummerSlam next, or at WrestleMania next year. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, they said it multiple. We're in a new era, and I'm here for it. Like, I could not be more excited. I'm not saying
I'm still not sitting watching that. There's
no.
But when they get on Netflix,
yes, I'll watch more of it.
They're in a holding pattern. You know, I've said this before. I think their deal ends like with whatever NBC Universal USA in like October.
Yeah.
They come on in January. I'm not, obviously, but if I was the guy in charge, I would take those months off. And go away. Give everybody 3 months to heal up.
Yeah.
That way everybody's little nagging injuries. And then, man, when January hits, boom, you drop a killer show that's adult-oriented. I'm not – when we talk about adult-oriented, we had this text conversation the other night. I don't want to see them go back to the era of Brian Panning matches.
No.
I don't need to see Dookie jokes on TV every
day. No.
I don't even need – I don't want every promo to be laced with profanity.
Right.
But in a – just like blood, I don't want to see blood in the opening match.
Right.
But if Cody had bled a little bit Sunday night, that would have put that match over the top.
Right.
If Cody bled a little bit Saturday night.
Yeah. And came to the ring
And came
Sunday
to the ring taped
little,
up.
Yeah.
And then open
and
that
then
up.
And then Roman
talks. Yes. I think it would, like, whatever it was would have been just a notch better. But I don't want to see blood every week. I don't want to see John Moxley bleeding every time somebody chops his chest and his head busts open. I don't need that.
Yeah.
Don't want that.
Right.
Same with profanity.
Yeah.
People use profanity. Grown men use profanity when they speak.
Right.
Especially when they're mad.
Right.
When they're trying to illustrate a point. So peppering it in every now and then, not a problem with that at all.
Right. Right. It was Triple H that talked about that if you're Netflix And I also heard that, like, at one point Netflix was like, man, to do all this live, we don't really want to do live sports because it's going to, and WWE's like, we got everything.
Yeah, we do it.
We got it. We don't. You ain't got to develop nothing. You don't have to get any. We got everything.
Yeah, we have the equipment.
Yes, we're quite experienced with this. But that
we had our own network.
But if you're Netflix and you've already invested this much for Raw, what's to say we want it all? We want we want the network. Can you imagine? You think about all the old problems with the WWE Network. Lord knows all the problems with Peacock.
Yeah, Peacock's awful.
Can you imagine the WWE Network content on the leader in streaming?
Yeah, maybe they would get Netflix. It was easier to find some things.
Yes. I mean, it's easier to find everything else. And then SmackDown and, like, Netflix is it. Do you know, like, Peacock would die.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody. Does anybody have Peacock who doesn't watch WWE? I mean, why would you pay?
I don't know. I got Peacock
for the Office.
I got it for the Office, and then when WWE went on there, I'm like, well, I'm keeping it. But now I've decreased to where I got ads.
Yeah, yeah, I got it.
I pay less.
I canceled it for right after the Vince McMahon stuff come out because I was like, I don't want anything to do with this company right now. Mm-hmm. And then they got to cooking, and I went, all right, I guess my hypocrisy knows no.
Right.
Knows no bad. But then I realized he's gone. They've made it very clear, not only is he gone, he is not coming back.
Right.
He's not allowed back in this on these premises. He will not be back. So I said, ah, well, it looks like I don't blame, you know. And maybe I don't want to get off on it too much because it's not worth talking. It is worth talking about. I just want to be careful the way I say it. Right. I don't hold every person that Vince McMahon knew accountable for his actions.
Right.
Because I know a lot of people. And there's a lot of people that I work closely with. Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to be held accountable for their actions if they do something that if Vince McMahon shows up with some girl, I don't know that that's an abnormal thing.
Right.
And if they don't know what's going on behind closed doors,
right,
you can't hold them accountable.
If you think, I mean, it's one thing, okay, this guy's having an affair or whatever. Pretty common in wrestling.
In the world.
Right.
It's pretty common in the world.
But you don't know all this other ridiculous, crazy stuff.
Like, how could you?
Right.
The level of depravity.
And let me tell you, I don't think that Bruce, if they thought Bruce Pritchard in any way was connected to what happened, they say, Cody, we know you love him. And we love him. You cannot. But Bruce Pritchard came out on camera.
Yes.
And that was,
I think that was more strategic than you. I don't know that that was an in the moment thing.
Oh, no, 100%. I think
that was absolutely strategic to let people know. Same way with them mentioning Brock Lesnar. I'm not defending Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Okay. But from what I saw, did he have a lapse in judgment and probably text somebody something he shouldn't have? 100%.
Yes.
If we get fire everybody in the country that's ever done that, there's not really going to be anybody left to do a whole lot of work.
Correct.
Should he have done it? No.
Right.
Shouldn't have. It also sounds like Vince McMahon tried to put him into a situation, and he got himself out of that situation. And maybe I'm reading that completely wrong.
Right.
And if I am, then I sincerely apologize to anybody. But what I saw was Vince McMahon made an offer to him to do something, and Brock Lesnar declined that offer.
Correct.
However he did it, whatever the excuse, he got himself out of that, and he didn't do that.
Right.
Did he contact the girl? It sounds like maybe she contacted him. He contacted her at Vince McMahon's.
Right.
Shouldn't have happened.
Right.
100% wrong for that.
Right.
But is that a fireable offense to send a questionable text message to somebody. I guess in some companies it probably would be. It
depends on the text
message.
Depends
on the text message, what was said. Well, I don't know. I don't have that answer. Right. I'm not defending him.
Right.
But I don't know that I would fire him from my company.
Right.
For that.
Right. And here's the thing with WWE. Brock Lesnar at this point is not integral into...
No, he's an added bonus.
Yeah. He's an added bonus.
You can use him as you need him.
Take him or take it or leave it. We have been watching wrestling 40 years. Mm-hmm. Since we've seen all the WrestleManias. It feels different. Like it wrestling in WWE feels different now.
I think you said just WWE definitely feels different. Because I had like people at work going, hey, man, I can't wait to see, I'm kind of looking forward to this tonight. Just wrestling in general, I think it's kind of getting hot again. It's getting cool again. It's funny how that happens when you don't, when it's not geared at 7-year-old children. When you don't speak to people as though they're complete morons. If you speak to... you got to know who you... The fan base for that product is not 8 years old anymore.
No.
It's not. Everybody's
grown. We're 48.
Yeah. And when you're watching a show where clearly the man in charge thinks you're a complete moron and you need every little thing.
Right.
There's no subtlety. There's no Easter eggs. Everything has to be laid out.
Yeah.
You can't say the word pro wrestling. Don't say the referees' names. Don't... It's like being spoken down to.
Right.
When I watched it. And that's why I got to where I didn't enjoy it anymore.
Not only does wrestling feel different, it sounds different and it looks different.
Yeah.
I didn't see any ridiculous camera cuts. They're
zooming in and out, cutting up. Oh,
they're doing these long camera shots. They were in the ring. Yeah, they were
It looked very cinematic.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're experimenting with stuff, and it's about time.
Yes.
To see like this one. Like, there's a reason that TV shows have different directors do episodes so that it doesn't look the same all the time.
Right.
You may have the same set and the same people. There's different, and it just shot different ways with different lighting, and it looks a little different. To watch wrestling through the same lens for 40 years.
Yes.
And to see that lens get worse and worse and worse.
I want to say something that may be, heretical to some people. As many people do in WrestleMania season, I was watching some old WrestleManias. I was watching Rock Shawn Michaels. A couple of things I noticed.
Rock and Shawn Michaels.
Sorry. Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
I was like, wait a minute.
And the first thing I noticed was.
You know, Rock won't work with Shawn Michaels.
No, that's right. Is that match wasn't as bad as I remembered it.
Yeah.
Like Shawn Michaels just. Wasn't able to do everything, but still a heck of a match.
Right.
It's very clear to see he's just dying.
Yeah. He's definitely hurt.
I'm going to tell you, man. Jerry Lawler and JR have not – that didn't age well.
Really?
I did not enjoy the commentary. Huh. I enjoyed it at the time.
Right.
I mean, it was just – I didn't like it.
Hmm.
Now, for that time, it was...
I can recall a lot of big Jim Ross moments.
Right. No, I'm not talking about... I'm talking about the Jerry... Jim Ross was good.
Right, that's what I was about.
When Jerry Lawler... Sorry. Finish your thought
that's
before.
That's the point I was making, was that I don't recall a lot of their interplay like you do with Monsoon and Heenan.
Right.
McMahon and Ventura, I don't recall. They had a good chemistry.
Yes.
And they did work well together, but I don't recall.
It just seemed like JR is here to call the wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and Lawler, you are here to interject inappropriate comments.
Right. And
be a heel.
And the truth is, most of your famous most of your favorite Jim Ross commentary. Uh-huh. If you go back and listen to it, he was not with Jerry Lawler. But most of the time, he was with Vince McMahon or Paul Heyman. And Lawler may have been there, but it was right. Very rarely are your favorite calls. The Hell in a Cell, I don't think Jerry Lawler was his partner during Hell in a Cell. Maybe I'm wrong about that. He could have been.
Right.
To go back and look.
But I really enjoyed Corey Graves, Michael Cole, Pat McAfee. I think Vince not being there, where these are more well-rounded people.
I was listening to Michael Cole on commentary, and I've never liked Michael Cole.
Yeah.
Never liked his commentary. But I was listening to him call this, and I thought, this is the guy that they could have had.
Yes.
For the last 20 years, calling their stuff. And they didn't let him do this? That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
This guy is amazing.
This guy is awesome.
This guy's an incredible commentator. Why didn't they let him do this? Who felt that this guy needed somebody to tell him how to speak? He's amazing now.
Yes. Yeah.
He is an incredible commentator when he doesn't have somebody in his ear telling him a bunch of stupid verbiage to use.
Yeah.
Just let him be himself. He was amazing, man.
Yeah.
I walked away thinking that about how good Michael Cole was on commentary over this WrestleMania. And Graves, too.
Yes.
And, of course, Pat McAfee's always. Yeah. Pat McAfee says the stuff that you're not supposed to say.
That's right.
Because he doesn't care.
No, that's right.
He's got FU money.
He does. He really does.
He says what he wants to say, and if they don't like it, I'm sure he'll say, well,
okay.
And I don't think Triple H cares.
No.
Because Cody the other night said, you want to see me face AJ Styles. He's the only one of, I think it was three guys. Maybe four. He said he's one of four people that's ever held the WWE Championship and the NWA title.
Yeah, it was Buddy Rogers, Ric Flair, AJ Styles, and Cody Rhodes. Okay,
I was thinking there was one more. He says the NWA on air.
Yeah.
Triple H, that's the Triple H influence of not acting like other people don't exist.
Right, right. You know? They showed the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes –
yeah,
video. In a
picture. Yeah, yeah.
My friend Nick McDaniel from Tapped Out, he said this. He's watching WrestleMania with his wife, and she's like, "You're like a little kid." And he's like, "You know that's when they got you."
Mm-hmm.
Is when you're a 50-year-old man and you're reacting like a 10-year-old kid. That's why we watch wrestling.
Yeah.
And it just was they hit. What's crazy is for me, no disrespect about what I'm about to say, the popcorn match for me was Bayley and Io Sky.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm getting ready for the main event, doing this, doing that. And then people are texting me, that was the match of the night. And so I got to go back and watch that because people are like, man.
I hadn't watched it yet.
And they were like, oh, man, this match was great. And I haven't had anybody – to me, over the two nights, what I appreciated, night one, only six matches.
That was great because I had to work the next day.
And then night two's only five matches.
Yes. I'd like that, too. I thought, this is nice. I can come home from work and watch this.
Right.
And I can kind of fast forward through a couple of matches that I don't care. Jimmy and Jay was awful.
Yeah.
Okay, so I kind of just went through that. I enjoyed Sami Zayn and Gunther. That was a great match.
But even over the two nights, as I went back and looked at the results and saw match times, I'm like, that was the right amount of time. The six-man women's match, right amount of time. The six-man or the men's match, about the right amount of time. Mm-hmm. That was the perfect the match that the two guys from the Eagles came in, that was the perfect match for that.
Yeah,
because that match needed a little bit of sizzle, and it didn't. You didn't want that in your main event.
No, you got it.
Well, no, no. What I mean is, you didn't want the Eagles guys.
Oh yeah, in the main event. Overshadowing.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Right. I got you.
They just pulled all the strings. I loved the I love that Drew McIntyre tweeted while he was wrestling and that he replied to that tweet. The cash-in was good.
The cash-in was great. That was really good, man, because it was, you know, Drew finally wins this thing.
Yes.
And he, you know, he couldn't help but go over there and rub it in Punk's face, and then Punk cost him the, you know.
And have you seen the video where they were
– Oh, yeah.
That, to me, WWE's just doing everything right now. Because they're giving you the peek behind the curtain. The promos
but not
are
– too much.
Right. Right.
Not too much of a peek. It's the peak of people congratulating people for win, which is the peaks they used to give you on Jim Crockett Promotions.
Yes.
When a guy bring a title back and everybody be waiting, hey, congratulations.
And this champagne everywhere. Champagne.
That's what it should be.
And then they tell you, no, no, no. The referees reverse his
decision.
That's right,
next week. So speaking of wrestling companies firing on all cylinders and doing all the right stuff, you want to talk about one that's doing a lot of wrong stuff?
Yes.
You want to make it another episode?
Yes. Okay. Let's make that another – because this one, I don't want to put any stink on this episode. And this episode
– Well, I don't mind putting some stank on it, but I don't want to put no stink
real
on
quick,
it.
Before we put the finishing touches on this one, I'll ask you this, and then I'll kind of give my take. What do you want to see of Cody's title run here?
You know, I think they're going to get – I hope if it was me, I would have AJ Styles. I don't know who's facing him. I don't know who won those matches on SmackDown because I've been in the woods for three days. I just saw the Bloodline thing this morning when I got home, so I haven't done a lot of follow-up. Do you know who's – I think there's two guys won, and then they're facing each other next week maybe to see who faces Cody.
And is Cody on Raw or SmackDown or both?
I think he's on SmackDown.
Yeah, and then the draft's in –
couple of weeks.
Drafts in a couple of weeks.
So I would, if it was, I don't know who won. So if I'm wrong, I may be completely wrong about this. Like I said, I've been in the woods for 3 days. I would have AJ Styles face him because AJ Styles can take the loss and it not hurt him. Plus, he can have it, he can establish Cody as a great wrestler. But then again, you got Kevin Owens. I wouldn't use LA Knight yet because I don't want to see LA Knight take a loss yet.
Right.
Owens and Styles can give a great match and take the loss and it not hurt them. I don't know that I'd hold off on Owens. I would hold off on Owens and Cody. I would hold off on that because I think that's a potential match down the road that could be really good. And for SummerSlam, I might consider bringing The Rock back and do – I'd have Cody beat him.
Yeah.
Maybe with some interference. Maybe with a spear from Roman. I don't know, but you would kind of have to introduce the new Bloodline stuff before that.
Right.
And that might be the time – SummerSlam might be a good time to bring Roman Reigns back. So you could have him spear The Rock. Cody pins The Rock. So there's still that disputed finish of Cody beating The Rock. So you can put a pin and go back to that.
Yeah.
I would then spin off and do whatever I needed to do with the Bloodline to maybe get to Rock and Cody for a rematch. I don't know. Or maybe you have Rock beat Cody at SummerSlam.
Right.
Because Cody's better chasing anyway. And then he can beat The Rock at WrestleMania.
Right.
Which would get you to the year after's WrestleMania of Rock and Roman. So you can stretch that out if you need to. In the meantime and in between time, I would have Cody in the draft. I would bring Gunther to SmackDown. I would have Cody feud with all summer long with Gunther. Maybe have Gunther win a non-title match to get a win over him and figure out some kind of way where he's a legitimate threat. Gunther's a legitimate threat anyway, but let's make him a real threat. Destroy a couple of people.
Right.
And then come after Cody. So that's kind of where I would go in the near future. What about you, Seth?
I would just love to see basically Cody have his own version of the Rogues Gallery.
Right.
That I would say the only thing I would disagree with you is I'd have every month a different person. Like, okay. I'm going to feud AJ Styles. That's May. We're going to wrestle at the May pay-per-view, right, or PLE, whatever. And I'd say Gunther's it. Gunther's next, man.
That Gunther may be a Survivor Series.
Right. And I would love, and I think you're right. How awesome would it be? Cody.
Cody.
Rock.
Can't you see?
But then Rock win, Roman come back as the babyface. Now you've got Roman challenging The Rock for the title as the babyface. That's a big win for Roman. That's a big win for the company. Because here's the thing, okay? And I don't want this to sound as idiotic as it is in my head. We have – can they ever top what they just did with Cody?
Oh, yeah. Well
– I mean, your first win – the first win is – it. They could have something that's different. Right. They got to do something different.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it would be – I mean, he's overcome injury. He's overcome the bloodline. So, I think I would like to see Cody have a good extended run.
Yeah.
And have different kinds of matches. Wrestle AJ Styles. Fight somebody. You know, just a blood feud with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But
Owens might be the blood feud guy.
Oh.
You know, that's a good one to – you know, it may be good to run him through the bloodline.
Yeah.
To get to The Rock. I mean, you could get if you're going to, you know, Tama Tonga, Jacob Fatu, Solo Sikoa, The Rock. I mean, that's, if you want to fight The Rock. But then again, why would The Rock not want to fight for the title? So it doesn't.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But in The Rock's absence.
Because to me, if you're The Rock, you are your number, the number of quality matches you have left, that number is shrinking.
And the likelihood of an injury, I mean, especially, he's right, going to try to do more.
Yes.
Walking and brawling is what he needs to do.
Right.
Walking, talking, and punching.
The Rock has never been.
He doesn't have to do a whole lot.
No. I remember watching The Rock versus Triple H in the Iron Man match. I think they did a total of 14 wrestling moves. It was mainly punching and kicking.
Yeah.
It was great.
Rock and Hogan.
Oh, my favorite match ever.
Is it really? That's your favorite
match? Yeah, we've had this discussion
before.
Yeah,
I think we have.
I mean, if you said,
they were talking about that the other day, about Meltzer gave it like 1.5 stars, and everybody just going, see, like the.
You don't, he's out of touch with reality.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it ain't, nobody was flipping and flying, but man, come on. Everybody there got their money's worth.
Yes.
You know.
And that was just great.
It's a great match. Yes, it's definitely a match I rewatch.
Yes,
quite often.
The match that I have been thinking about rewatching the last couple weeks is Savage Steamboat.
Yeah,
from WrestleMania 3.
I was thinking the other day about doing. I wish WWE would put some matches in the Hall of Fame.
Yes,
and I had like a little. I was thinking, like, if I had to pick five matches.
That sounds like a good episode right there. Did you have your list?
I'm pretty close. I mean, I could work through it.
During dinner, we'll work that out, maybe record that episode.
Okay.
We're on a weird schedule now.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's Sunday afternoon.
But I'm telling you, man, it's so good. I feel like we're in such a good place of life right now.
Dude, if I was any more relaxed, I'd be asleep.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't watched TV or anything for like 3 days. That's been.
You're about as happy as you've ever been.
Yeah. I would say I got a toothache, but other than that.
I do too. Yeah. I don't know what I did. We may have to pull the Tom Hanks and get a figure skate and knock it out.
I've been kicking that around. Don't worry.
Well, you first. You first, not me. So, anyway, folks, it's good to be back. You know, one of the commitments Mark and I kind of made to each other is I'm not saying this to bash any other podcast, but the point of us doing the podcast was to get together.
Right.
So we didn't want to do it over the internet.
I think we've only done like four or five of those.
Not even that many. And that, so we're going to figure out the schedule. We're going to record when we can. But our, the main thing, there's been times we've gotten together in the last 2 months. We didn't record, yeah, we didn't anything. Record anything.
There's nothing to talk about, man. It was either, there was, but I mean, I didn't want to do an episode on that Vince McMahon stuff.
No.
I didn't even like talking about it today.
No.
It the just, only time in my whole life I've heard the, you know, I've never been embarrassed to be a wrestling fan.
Correct.
I guess is the best way. So I don't care. It's my, it's a form of entertainment, right, that I enjoy. But the day somebody walked up to me and said, "What's going on with this?"
Yeah.
That was the first time I'd ever been embarrassed.
Right.
To be a wrestling fan.
Yeah. Just, I guess you always kind of knew.
No.
Well, not that. Yeah, yeah, that was far beyond.
There's
what
a,
we,
yeah, there's a level of depravity there that, that is beyond,
yeah,
what I would have considered any human being doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a disgusting human being.
Yes. Yes. We agree on this, yeah, for sure. But fans, DoubleDropKick.com, wherever you listen to your podcast, the audio version, we're on all of them. Amazon, Apple, Spotify, wherever you can listen to a podcast, that's where we are. And that's where we'll continue to be. So, you want to stay tuned because we're getting ready. At some point in the festivities, we're going to talk about the backstage footage that AEW showed. Yeah. And we want to talk about that. But again, that's going to be a separate episode. But for now.
Probably not a very long episode. We can probably knock it out here in the next 15
minutes. That's right. That's right. So, but we appreciate your support of the Double Drop Kick Show. And for the Double Drop Kick Show, I'm Heath Mulligan.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.